Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the place where Rick Warren brings you uplifting messages from God's Word every day to help you grow deeper in faith and live with purpose. Today we're bringing our series called Toolbox for Life to a close. In this series, Rick teaches four essential skills that you need to succeed wherever God has placed you, whether it's at home, at work, at school, or in your community. These are tools that every follower of Jesus needs. So let's get started with today's teaching. Here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Learning to Be Both Fast and Slow.
So we've looked at some examples of when God says to move fast. Let me give you some examples. And again, this is not exhaustive, just a few examples of when does God want me to move slowly. All right, here are a few. Write these down. Number one, I need to move slowly, number one, when I don't have the facts. The Bible says when I don't have the facts, I need to move slowly. I need to find out more about what I'm about to do before I do it. Now, our culture, this is so counterculture because our culture worships impulsivity. Our culture values spontaneity. To do anything, to plan anything is considered uncool. To plan anything, to think it out is considered, oh, that's kind of geeky. No, I just want to be a free spirit and I just want to be spontaneous and I just want to be impulsive. And so you make decisions when you don't have the facts and haven't planned at all. How many times have you heard things like this? People say, well, just go with your gut. Go with your gut. You just ate a burrito. What kind of information are you going to get out of that? Beans and cheese. Go with your gut? What does that mean? Go with your gut. That's a terrible reason to base your life. Your gut is wrong. It has indigestion half the time. Or here's another one. You've heard this on 1,000 talk shows. You've heard it in movies. And they make it sound so spiritual. Just, you gotta follow your heart. You ever heard that? Just follow your heart. Are you kidding me? Your heart lies to you all the time. All the time. You lie to yourself more than you lie to anybody else. About half the time, your heart gets it dead wrong. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful. That means it has an amazing ability to con you. And we tend to convince ourselves that things are bad when they're not really that bad. And we can convince ourselves that they're good when they're not really that good. And we lie to ourselves all the time. You should not trust your heart because about half the time it's going to be dead wrong. How's that working out for you anyway? Follow your heart. One dead end after another. Broken hearts, broken relationships. Following your heart is not, you need something bigger than yourself. You need an objective source of truth that's bigger than you. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. That's outside of you. That's a lot more reliable than simply, well, I got up this morning and felt like doing this. Really? Your feelings are often wrong. And we know now today from virtual reality, we can make you feel anything. Really? People, advertisers know how to make you feel all kinds of things that you don't want to feel. And it doesn't mean it's right, doesn't mean it's true. No, you need the facts. You need the truth. The Bible says this. Look at these verses. Proverbs 19, chapter 19, 21. The Bible says, zeal, that's enthusiasm, zeal without knowledge is not good. You got to get the facts. A person who moves too quickly may go the wrong way. Has that ever happened to you? Of course it has. You ever been driving down the street and you didn't know where you were going and you were in a new town or a new area and you didn't know and you felt like somebody was pressuring you from behind so you turn right or turn left? It wasn't the right decision. You just felt pressured to do it. And it wasn't at all where you wanted to go because you hadn't stopped to get the facts and consider where you need to go. Zeal without knowledge is not good. You know, today, America's economy is run on small businesses. But most people don't realize that about 80% of all small businesses fail within the first 5 years. Why? Because they have zeal without knowledge. They have a desire, but they never talked to anybody who's actually done it. I could say, I like to eat cookies. I'm going to start Ricky's Cookie Store. I know nothing about running a cookie store. And before I ever start Ricky's Cookie Store, I got to go talk to Mrs. Fields and say, what were the pitfalls? What didn't work? It's dumb to start anything without talking to somebody who's already done it. That's what the Bible says. I should move slowly when I don't have the facts. Proverbs 18:13. To decide before knowing the facts is shameful and stupid. Well, that's pretty clear. All right, number two. Second time I should move slowly. When I'm hurt or angry. This will save you a whole lot of counseling bills. If you'll understand, don't move fast when you're hurt or angry, or you could add depressed too. How many times have you made a bad decision when you were upset? Because your emotions kicked in, your heart kicked in, and your heart was telling you to do stuff that wasn't logical or even rational or even beneficial. I should move slowly, the Bible says, when I'm hurt or angry. Look at some of these verses. James 1:19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Do you see the rhythm there? You might circle quick, slow, and slow. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Usually we get that one exact opposite. Usually we're quick to speak and slow to listen. And that's why we have all the relational problems that we do, because we're quick to speak and slow to listen. God says, no, you got it all backwards. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. And by the way, if you do the first two, the third one's automatic. You'll be slow to anger. Now, that's a rhythm. Let me show you a few verses. Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered makes foolish mistakes. Let me show you a couple more up here on the screen. Proverbs 15, verse 28. The godly thinks before speaking. He's saying, put your mind in gear before you put your mouth in gear. Well, we don't always do that one, and that gets us into trouble. Why? We don't go slow. We're too quick to, spout out our opinion on the internet or somewhere else. The godly thinks before speaking. Here's another one, Proverbs 15:18. Losing your temper causes trouble, but staying calm settles argument. How do you stay calm? Go slow. Go slow. Sometimes you're to go fast in life, but sometimes you're to go slow. Let me give you a third area. I should move slowly when making a major decision. Oh, this one could save you a lot of heartache and a lot of money too. When making a major decision, never make a major decision impulsively. Take some time to think it through, to consider, to pray, to just slow down. Some of you are unmarried and you would like to be married. I'm going to give you my best marriage advice in two words. Here's 10 years of counseling in two words. Go slow. Just don't get in a hurry. What happens? You go out, you see somebody, you get a quiver in your liver and you're ready to marry them next week. Are you kidding me? And then you think you're going to spend the rest of your life with this person. You didn't check them out. No, you should go through, I tell people when I used to do counseling, you should go through all four seasons with somebody before you marry them. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call. Go through all four seasons with them. You see, here's the problem with dating. Dating is such an artificial, phony experience. I mean, everybody acts their best, looks their best, dresses their best, smells their best. Guy walks up to you, in a bar and says, hey, can I buy you a drink? Where else in the world do you offer a stranger to buy them something? Can you imagine you're in Sears, you walk up, hey, could I buy you a toaster? Care for a blender? Really, it's so phony and so fake, and it's not the real deal. You got to see them when they're down, when they're up, in all the experiences of life. You got to see them when they're upset and they're down in every experience, because that's real life. You see, I just need to talk to our ladies here for just a minute, because I don't want broken hearts. You need to understand, ladies, that when a man decides he's going to get married, he's a man on a mission. And a man on a mission will do things to woo a woman he would never do in real life. Like go to the opera. Okay. No man would ever go to the opera voluntarily. Okay? But if he's trying to woo a woman, he'll go to an opera. He'll talk for 3 hours on the phone. What man does that? Nobody. No, but he'll do it during the dating season, okay, and bring flowers and all these kind of things. And then once they're married, the guy mentally in his mind, he's got a checklist, and he goes, check, married. Now, I got to go to the second thing on the list, which is I got to provide for her. I got a family to take care of. And so all of his attention moves from woo the woman, done that. Now it's support our family, support our marriage, and all of his attention moves to the business. And the woman feels like, hey, this is bait and switch. What happened to the guy who talked to me for 3 hours on the phone? He's working. Okay. And so I'm just trying to put it out the way it really is, that you just need to go slow. You know, I heard this week about a couple in our church that chose to wait 10 years to get married for the sake of their children from previous marriages. That's unbelievably mature and unselfish. What they did is they dated each other while their little ones, their babies, were growing up. They remained sexually pure. They kept their vows to God. And then once the kids were grown and they felt were ready, they finally got married. It's a very unselfish mood. And by the way, they're on their honeymoon right now. Yeah, they're on their honeymoon right now. They chose to go slow when they could have gone fast. But I guarantee you, they saved themselves a lot of problems that they might have had if they had just rushed into something without even considering all the other players in the formula. When you're making a major decision, let me show you some Bible verses. Proverbs 21:29. Wicked people bluff their way through life. So do some presidential candidates. Okay. But God's people think before they take a step. You got to think. You got to use the brain. I'm waiting for God's will. God gave you his will when he gave you a brain. And he says, go slow. Think before you speak. What major decision are you facing right now that you need to slow down on? What major decision are you facing right now that you, maybe it's retirement or a new job or what, I don't know what it is. You just need to slow down on. Proverbs 4:26 says this, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Circle the word ponder. That's an old English word. It just means to really seriously think about it. It means to carefully consider. When he says ponder the path of your feet, what he's saying there is carefully consider the direction of your life. And he says, if you carefully consider the direction of your life, then he says, all your ways will be sure. Now, what does it mean to carefully consider? It means to ask yourself, what do I need to do today in order to get where I want to be tomorrow? Most people never ask that question. So they never get to where they want to be. What do I need to do today? The habits, the practices, the savings, the skills, the learning. What do I need to do today to get where I want to be tomorrow? A lot of people dream about tomorrow, but they never ask, what do I need to do today to get there? That's what it means to ponder the path of your feet. Now, you can't ponder fast. You can only do it slow. It means you got to take time. You got to slow down. You got to think about it. Now, this applies to every area of your life, career moves, marriage, ministry, family, finances, everything. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says this, sensible people will see trouble coming because they're pondering the path of their feet. They're looking at where they're headed. Sensible people will see the trouble coming and avoid it, but an unthinking person we'll walk right into it and regret it later. By the way, do you know where we have the number one violation of that principle right there? Spending. Sensible people see trouble coming and avoid it. Unthinking person walk right into it, regret it later. I know I can't afford it, I'm going to buy it because I really want it right now. And it's impulse buying. It's buying things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't even like. And that gets more people into trouble. Why are you in debt? Because of impulse buying. Because you did not plan it. You did not ponder the path. And you didn't think about it. And so people get in debt. And the Bible tells us this. Look at a screen. Proverbs 21. Plan carefully and you will have plenty. If you act too quickly, see, that's that, you're going too fast. If you act too quickly, impulse buying, I see it, I want it, then you will never have enough. Now, plan carefully. If you don't have plenty, if you're living hand to mouth, it's because you have not planned carefully. You can live pretty much on any amount if you plan carefully. I went through college and seminary with Kay, married, on $800 a month because we planned carefully. And we made it work. And I'm telling you this because we're coming up on the Christmas season. And Satan's favorite tool is called catalogs. To create interest in things you never knew. How did you live without that until you finally saw it in the catalog? So I need to slow down. I need to slow down when I don't have the facts. I need to slow down when I'm hurt or angry. I need to move slowly when I'm making a major decision. And let me give you one more. The Bible says I need to move slowly when I'm waiting for a seed I've planted to grow. When I'm waiting for a seed that I've planted to grow. Now, this is the law of the harvest. I taught you a number of years back the 9 laws of the harvest. Maybe I should teach that again. Because everything starts with a seed. It starts with a seed of an idea for a relationship, an idea for a business, an idea for a hobby, an idea for a work of art, a building, architecture. Everything starts as a seed of an idea. But it doesn't go anywhere unless that seed is planted. And it has to be planted in the ground. Once you plant it in the ground, there is always a waiting time between planting and harvesting. You sow in one season and you always reap in another. You never reap in the same season. You don't plant a tomato seed an hour go out and pick out a tomato. And you, when you have done some planting of seeds in your life for good, then you just have to wait. And you can't go back out there and, you know, dig the seed up every 5 minutes, go, are you growing? No, you just have to trust God. You plant seeds. Now, what am I talking about? You can plant seeds of kindness. You can plant seeds of love. You can plant seeds, financial seeds. You can plant seeds of faith. You can plant seeds of goodness. You can plant seeds of integrity. Whatever you sow, you will reap. If you plant gossip, you're going to reap gossip. If you plant anger and a violent temper, you know what you're going to reap? Anger and violent temper from other people. You will sow what you reap, and you will actually reap more than you sow. When you plant one seed of corn, you don't get one seed of corn back. You get a stalk with several ears with thousands of seeds of corn. You always get back more than you plant, positively or negative. You can make the law of harvest work for you or against you, but it doesn't happen fast. It happens slowly, and you just keep waiting. So what do you do while you're waiting on God? And you're going slow and you're waiting God for some of these seeds you've been planting to harvest. Well, you just keep on sowing seed. Here's what the next verse says. Ecclesiastes 11:6. Oh, first here. Ecclesiastes 3:1-5 says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to plant and a time to harvest. There is a time to scatter, and there's a time to gather. And in that in-between time, what do? You go slow, and you keep planting. Here's what the next verse says. Keep on sowing your seed, for you never know which ones will grow. Perhaps they all will. It's kind of like getting your resume out. You get it out to one place, you've only planted one seed. You get your resume out to 100 places, there's seeds have been planted in 100 sites. and you will reap according to what you sowed. Now, I realize that some of you have been waiting for some time for the harvest in your life. And you go, I'm waiting for the harvest. Let me give you a verse to encourage you. The Bible says this in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. God says, at the time I have decided, my words will come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. That's a good verse you might want to cut out and put on your refrigerator or put it on the visor in your car. God says, at the right time, it will come true. It may take a while, but keep waiting. It will happen. It goes slow. I want to end with a verse that's actually a prayer of Solomon from the Bible in the book of 1 Kings. It says this. I love it, the Message paraphrase. 1 Kings 8:58. May God keep us centered and devoted to him, following the life path he has cleared, watching the signpost, and walking at the pace and rhythm he laid down for our ancestors. Isn't that beautiful? Let me read it again. May God keep us centered, not sidelined, centered, not distracted, centered, and devoted to him, following the life path he has cleared, watching the signposts. Now, you can't see the signposts if you're going too fast. And walking, not running, at the pace and rhythms he laid down for our ancestors. That's my prayer for you. Now, before we end, I want to go back to that issue of some of you have not stepped across the line. I don't want you to end this year not being in the family. So let me give you two last verses. Look here on the screen. The Bible says, God says, I tell you that the right time is now. And the day of salvation is now. Not next week, not next year, not in another month, not when conditions are better. Now is the time to have your past forgiven, get a purpose for living, and get a home in heaven. Where are you going to get that deal? And the Bible says this in Acts 22:16. Why wait any longer? Get up and be baptized, trusting in him to save you. Let's bow our heads. Pray this in your mind. Father, help me to be sensitive to your timing. Help me when to go slow. Help me when to say no. And help me when to move fast. Help me to walk in the Spirit, in both the steps and the stops of my life. Dear God, when you tell me to do something, I'm going to do it immediately. I'm not going to wait anymore. I'm not going to delay or procrastinate or postpone. When I read a command, I'm going to do it. Help me to ask or offer forgiveness for the people in my life that you know I'm out of sorts with. Help me to not put that off anymore. I don't want to go another day with guilt or bitterness or resentment stockpiled in my heart. And when I feel tempted, help me to run, to not try to argue my way out of it, to not flirt with temptation, but to just remove myself from the situation. If it means changing the channel or actually leaving the party or walking out of the room or moving away from a conversation at the office. And Lord, when I've made a promise to you, help me to keep it as quickly as possible. And help me to see the opportunities for kindness and for good you put in my life every day. Help me not to withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in my power to act. And to carry out quickly the tasks that you have for my life, because I don't know how long I'm going to live. If you've never invited Christ in your life, say, Dear Jesus Christ, I accept your forgiveness right now. I ask you to be my Savior because I know I can't possibly save myself. I'll never be good enough to get into a perfect place, so I need your salvation. And I want to trust you. And then, Lord, help me to move slow when I don't have all the facts about a project or about a person. And when I'm hurt, and when I'm angry, or when I'm depressed, help me to go slow. And when I have a major decision to make or a major purchase to make, help me to go slow. And help me to wait in faith to see the harvest of the seeds that I'm planting every day. And I humbly ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
What a fantastic message from Pastor Rick. You know, Daily Hope is changing lives every day. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Hi, everybody. You know, God often uses the hardship in our lives to prepare our hearts for His message that He wants to give us. And that's what a woman named Deanna believes happened when her world just collapsed all around her. Deanna wrote to me and saying this, Pastor Rick, it's been on my heart to send you this thank you. I hit a very low valley in my life, and I finally figured I must be doing life wrong. I had lost my job, I lost my husband, and I almost died from birth complications. I went from a high-paying, high-profile, white-collar job to picking up cigarette butts and vacuuming construction job sites to support myself and my son as a single mom. But I started listening to your Daily Hope podcast on the way to work. And I later listened to all that I could during my time vacuuming and cleaning. One day, on my way to work, driving up a mountain road and going around a corner, I heard you give a call to anyone who had not yet given their life to Jesus. And you know what? I prayed with you that prayer. And Jesus has been in my heart ever since. And I am so grateful. It actually is bringing tears to my eyes. Deanna, did you know God created you just in order to love you? And He's so pleased to accept you into His forever family. In fact, the Bible says that the angels had a party in heaven when you opened your life to Christ and received Him into your life. And guess what? I'm celebrating with them right now. Welcome. You're now my sister in the Lord, and I'll see you in heaven, if not sooner. Now, I want to thank all the rest of you who support Daily Hope, because it's because of your support that Deanna was able to hear the Daily Hope messages while driving in her car. You know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be really fun to meet all the people who are there because you helped share the gospel with people all around the world through Daily Hope. So thank you, friends.
We sure hope you've been encouraged by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. And if you have, would you consider supporting us? Just go to PastorRick.com. Again, that's PastorRick.com. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.